Thank you, Reverend Ray, and certainly we encourage you to exercise the right that you have. And before we get into the message, I want you to go ahead and turn to John chapter 4. It's where we'll find our message today, John 4, verses 23 and 24. But we do have a thank you. Connie Smith lost her mother, and she sends a thank you to the church. The world's a whole lot better place because of people like you who bring so much happiness with the nice things that you do, Connie Smith and family. So certainly we want to remember them in prayer. And speaking on voting, you do have now a couple more days that you can vote in person at the registrar's office. You can do that, or that you can still request a mail-in ballot. So you have those options that you can exercise. So please do that, as Reverend Ray has said. Thank our youth. And we had Shakira featured on that recording. It's amazing what technology can do, and I think she did a great job. Let's give them another hand. Amen. And we thank Jamie also for the scripture today. John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. For the hour comes and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeks such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. May God continue to bless the reading of his word to our understanding. May we grow thereby. You may be seated. Let us pray. Father, thank you again for this awesome privilege that we come to celebrate you. We come to proclaim that you are God, and beside you there's none other. Bless us in this hour that we might have precious time to spend in your presence, to learn of you, and then to go out, Father, and share with the world the good things that you've done in our lives that you might bless. Bless your word now. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. We've been talking about going to the extreme. All of us are familiar with that term. We know what it means. And we talked about going to the extremes in prayer, in the exercising of your prayer privileges that God has given you. We talked about going to the extreme in righteousness. If the world is going to the extreme, then why can't the people of God go into the extremes of things that the Lord has called them to do? Now, we got a couple more Sundays that we're going to spend on this, but today we want to talk about going to the extreme in worship. In worship. I'm concerned that people are not worshiping God in the way that they ought to. That is my concern. Even for my own personal life, I have to ask myself, am I giving God what I want, or am I giving him what he's seeking? So today we're going to talk about the way to real worship, the way to real worship. And I want to ask a question, because let me paint a picture to you from John chapter 4. This woman in Samaria, a Sychar of Samaria, little village in Samaria, this woman came seeking water. She came to Jacob's well wanting to get water, but there was something else going on in her life that she needed. And worship was the only way that was going to get her to that place where she could drop the bucket of faith into the love and grace of God. But the problem was, the woman was at the wrong well. And a lot of times in our lives, we're at the wrong well. We're at the well of self-sufficiency, or we're at the well of what we think can be gained through our relationship with other people. People might give you so much, and the things of this world might give you a little bit, but they cannot give you God. The need of our lives is God. And this brings us to the first principle in this verse that we've just read. God is seeking you. He's seeking true worshipers. So as you look at this verse, I want you to think about God seeking true worshipers, God looking for people who will worship him in spirit and in truth. Are y'all in the house today? Just checking to see where you're there. I know it's hard to say amen under a mask, but do your best. Do your best. For those that are joining us in the parking lot and those that are online through Zoom and also online through Facebook Live, we want to say to you, you need to understand that as you are seeking God through worship, God is seeking you. Jesus said it expressly. He said, the Father is seeking those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. So what's the way for us to get there? How do we get there? And what will worship do for us? See, a lot of us, we've gotten into this thing of where we don't really understand worship. Let me tell you something. Let me give you a suggestion today. You will never understand worship until you know God. Because if you try to worship and you don't know God, you don't know what you're worshiping. Jesus even said to the woman, she asked him the question, Lord, should we worship in this mountain or in Jerusalem where the Jews say that worship? And Jesus said, neither is the correct answer. You're not worshiping things. You're not worshiping mountains. You are worshiping God. But how can you worship God if you don't know God? So this woman, she's searching. Like a lot of people. I'm going to ask you a question today. What's in your bucket? You better check your bucket. Your bucket being your spirit, your soul, your heart. What's in your bucket? Now, if you're going to bring that to God and offer that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you it's what we call vain worship. So what I want to do very quickly today, I'm going to give you the seven aspects or the seven things that people do in worship. Seven concepts, if you would. Seven ways that people can worship God. Four of them are going to be pretty much what we do as humans. But three of them will reflect what true worship is all about. So as we look at worship today, as we understand a little bit more and putting ourselves in the position of where this woman was, I want you to walk with her for just a little bit. I want you to understand what's going on in her life. Some of you are going through tough things right now, struggles right now, pain right now, and you're wondering, how can I get past where I am? And the answer is worship. But if your worship ain't real, Lord have mercy, that'll preach right there. If your worship is not genuine, if your worship is not from your heart, if your worship is not toward God, you're going to come up with an empty bucket. You're going to drop down that bucket and bring up nothing. Vanity. You can get there. So I want to introduce you to the first form of worship that people get into, and that is compulsory worship, compulsion. In other words, you're doing it because you feel like, I got to do this. A lot of people go to church because they feel like, well, I better go to church, otherwise God might zap me. So the worship, the compulsory worship, is based on, let me do something, and then God will bless me. Or you can come in from the other end and say, well, let me not do that because God won't bless me. Let me just tap you on the shoulder and tell you something right here. If God's going to bless you, he's going to bless you anyway. Amen, somebody. God does not bless you for your personal goodness. Only God can make you good. You cannot make yourself. But now you got to cooperate with him. Hello. You got to make sure that you are seeking him. So compulsory worship is a form of worship that is based on obligation. It is based on the human act of what we do in the way that we think God is pleasing in that. But listen now, from that compulsory worship, it's almost like somebody has to twist your arm in order for you to serve God. Now, I know if y'all growing up just like me, your mom and daddy made you go to church. It was compulsory. All right? That was so you could learn of the Lord. Amen? And parents, tell your children now that they are unemancipated, which means you ain't free yet until you get out of this house. But when you become mature, no one has to twist your arm and tell you that the Lord is good. No one should have to convince you that the Lord is the sustainer of your life. Nobody needs to tell you that the Lord is your shepherd. You ought to know that for yourself. And you ought to throw up your hands and say, Lord, thank you. Nobody's forcing me to do it, but I want to give you praise. You see, what we're doing, if you get into compulsory worship, it becomes this thing of, well, let me do a little bit more. And I'll get in the end of this sermon where I'll tell you that worship is not based on what you've done. It's based on what God has done and your acknowledgement of his goodness. Oh, let me just go back and tell you like the old folks say. He woke me up this morning, started me on my way, put food on my table. Amen. I know that God is able. That's real worship. That's the worship that you need. And so with that, people get into this compulsory worship. Look at this woman now. She's coming to the well, and she asks Jesus this question about worship because she didn't understand. She doesn't know. Remember, you cannot worship what you do not know. You can't do it. And so what happens is that people will go part of the way. They'll go part of the way. The second form of worship is what we call consensus worship. In other words, I'll just do what everybody else is doing. And yes, there might be somebody in the church that knows the Lord and knows how to testify, knows how to praise him. Amen. So when they start acknowledging God's goodness, you feel like, well, that looks good to me. If they dance, let me dance. If they pray, let me pray. If they say God is good, let me say God is good. In other words, you're going along with the group. You're going along with the crowd. But the crowd can't get you into heaven. Amen, somebody. I used to say when my children were young and they were growing up, I said a whole lot of kids in the community used to come over to our house, but at night they left because they want my kids. Y'all ain't gonna pray with me today. Going along with the crowd, going along with the group, feeling that as long as the consensus is, and that's what I'm going to do. You cannot base your worship on that. And the woman even had nerve enough to tell Jesus, our fathers did this. It ain't about your fathers. It's about you. Some people say, well, my grandma used to praise him. Well, yeah, that's good for your grandma. But when are you going to praise him? When are you going to worship him? When will you start saying that the Lord is truly awesome? Then people, when they can't fit in, when they feel like that nothing else is working, that nothing else is really active in their life. Here's the same woman, but I want you to notice something. She's coming to the well at an odd hour because she doesn't want people to notice her. She feel like that. You ever felt like everybody's eyes is on you, especially when you mess up? Or is it just me? Anyway, this woman comes to the well and she feels like the community has let her down because of the life that she has lived. But on this day that she came to the well, there was a man from Galilee. There was a man called Jesus that it was there to meet her and to let her know that you've struggled, you've been through, but I'm here to give you a breakthrough in your worship. That is the living God. You don't have to look for him. He's looking for you. Now, you do have to acknowledge when he knocks on your heart, the door of your heart, and when he says to you, will you open the door? And if you open the door, I will come in and sup with you. So the next form that we have of worship, we've talked about that consensus worship. We've talked about the compulsory worship. But now we want to talk about the complacent worship. Complacent. In other words, we're just comfortable. As long as the Lord has food on our table, a shelter over our head, we're good. I'm good. How you doing? I'm good. But your worship needs to go to the extreme. I feel that many churches before this pandemic had gotten complacent, including this one. We knew that the Lord was going to bless us, so we said, okay, Lord, I'll just sit back and chill out. It's kind of like the attitude was when the disciples had gotten used to Jesus. When Jesus first met him, they were awed at his presence, but now they're looking at him, okay, Jesus, you know, there's some food over there if you want it. And matter of fact, they came later to the same scene, and Jesus was talking to the woman and these complacent worshipers, not knowing that the Lord was working in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. He said, Jesus, what are you talking to her for? Something wrong with that woman. Leave alone. Complacent worship. Complacent worship is only concerned about meeting my own needs. I worship God, I pray to God just so he can bless me. And when he blesses me, I'm good. I won't acknowledge him. I'll just go to church when I get ready. I'll say amen when I get ready. I'll read my Bible when I get ready. I pray when I get ready. Complacent worship. Let me tell you something in my life. In the natural, I don't get complacent over rice. Rice is angels' food. Rice, did you not know that 80% of the world is blessed by rice every day, including this person right here? Hallelujah, somebody. And every day I said, thank God for some good old rice. I go to the extreme because I love rice. But now, if you've been fed by God, if you've been blessed by God, your praise should never be stale. It should never be moldy. It should always be something brand new and coming from your heart. Don't give God complacent worship. Cold churches. Why? Because people let it get cold. You let it get cold. Well, ain't nobody else saying amen. Let me just not say amen. But wait a minute. They don't know what the Lord has done for you. Now, you don't have to be noisy because I come from the country, see? But you can smile every now and then. You can throw up your hands every now and then. You can sing a song to the Lord every now and then and let folk know that God is real and his mercy is everlasting. I'm talking about real worship, the pathway to real worship. And then we come to the fourth kind of worship. We talked about the complacent. We talked about the consensus, and we talked about the compulsory. But now we want to talk about the compromised worship. Compromise means that you got a knowledge of God, you got an understanding of God, but you got something else in there also. It's when you mix it with something. Amen? I like my rice mixed with butter and a little bit of sugar. Folks in South Carolina think that's an abomination. Come on, somebody. But you know what I tell the folks in South Carolina? This is my rice. I eat it the way I want it. Come on, somebody. When you mix it with something else, when you mix God and money, when you mix God and fame, when you mix God and political affiliation, hell, uh-oh. Boy, I stepped into something right there. Well, people say, No. My kingdom is with the kingdom of Jesus. I'm going to vote, but I ain't trusting nobody with my soul. Talk to me up in here. I've already voted for my king, and he's the one that reigns forever. I ain't got to vote for him every 4 years, 2 years, 6 years. I ain't got to vote for him because he's the Lord of my life. Hallelujah. And I'm just passing through this world. Since I'm living in America, I might as well go on in there and fill out that ballot. You know, by the way, that thing is a little tricky on you. You know, got all these little dots you got to fill in. Hello, somebody. But I ain't have to fill in a dot with Jesus. All I had to do was raise my hand and say, Lord, I thank you for this another day. But compromise worship is a place where you're not sure which is the right direction. The prophet Elijah was faced with that when he looked at the group of people living in Samaria. And he asked them the question, how long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord be God, then follow him. If Baal be God, then follow him. And you know what happened? And the people didn't answer a word. Why? Because they didn't know. They didn't know. A lot of people now, they don't know. And so they'll compromise. They say, well, let me get over here a little bit. Well, let me get back over here a little bit. But when you really know, God will prove himself faithful. Before that woman left that well that day, she knew who God was. She was ready for worship because her heart had been searched by the living God. And the Lord gave her a spirit of worship. She became a true worshiper. So let's get into this thing. Let's talk about what is the true worship and what is the path that leads to true worship. This brings us to the second principle, We already said in the first one that the Father is seeking true worshipers, but now Jesus said in that verse, he said, and they that worship him in spirit and in truth, he said, the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. Notice the word shall, not might, not could, not just have the potential, but they do it. Now, I don't know really what motivated you to come out today. We're in the midst of a pandemic, and some even call it pandemic. But whatever it is, it's messed up. It's jacked up. And a lot of folk are feeling like, I don't want to risk my life. But somehow, in your mind, can I preach? In your heart, you said, yes, I could stay at home. Yes, and nothing wrong with those that are staying at home for safety and for health reasons, but every now and then, you just got to give God some praise. And ain't nothing like it being with other saints, even though we have to be at a distance. Y'all keep your distance, but go on, give him some praise in here. Go on and give him some honor in here. Go on and shout glory, because the Lord is still good. He is so good to us today. And why is it that our praise, amen, has to be jacked up like the pandemic? You ought to have a better praise now. Amen, somebody. I mourn the loss of the 200,000 that have been struck down by this thing, knowing that there were steps that could have been taken to preserve their lives, helpless people that suffered. But I also celebrate the ones that are still alive, and you and I, we're one of them. So when we look at true worship, we see this woman making her way to the well, meeting Jesus, having this discourse with Jesus, talking to him and getting answers from him. And the woman tried to do everything she could to elude her real problem. Her real problem is that she didn't have right relationships in her life. And that right relationship begins with God. It begins with God Almighty. So when you look at the path that leads to true worship, and the woman was able to give him true worship, why? Because first of all, she reached the place where she was committed. She was committed. She was a committed worshiper. Why? Because when you reach that place, you realize, it finally dawns on you that God is your Savior. She said, when the Messiah comes, said he's going to reveal himself. He's going to make known. He'll speak to us when the Messiah comes. And Jesus said to the woman, I'm here. Glory to God. I just want to shout on that one. I want to shout because you didn't find God. Even though you needed God, God found you. He found me in South Korea. I don't know where he found you at. And no, I didn't find him in a church. I found him in a club. Hello, somebody. It's about to get tore up from the floor, but God said, not tonight. Hey! Hallelujah! People don't like to talk about what they've been through, and neither did this woman. She had five husbands, and the one she was with wasn't her husband. And Jesus could have said to her, I'm done with you. But no, he said, I just got started. Lord have mercy. He looked beyond her fault and saw her need. That woman better not walk up in a church. Uh-oh. Y'all got mighty quiet. All the eyes would have been on her. But you know what? Her sin is no worse than the sin of everybody else. Because every sin, amen, whether it was pride, whether it was outward sin, every sin is worthy of death. But thank God for the blood of Jesus. And when that woman realized that he was the Messiah, she was committed to him, said, preacher, how did you know that she was committed? Anytime you're going to drop your water bucket, something going on here. You, amen. And that's why I've been asking you, what's in your bucket? If the right thing is not in your bucket, put the bucket down. Just put it down. Don't carry it any further, because God is about to work a miracle in your life. What does it mean to be committed? Being committed means that you're willing to offer yourself to the living God. Being committed means to say to the Lord Jesus, it's me that stands in the need of prayer. And when you commit, amen, just like a person is committed to a hospital, committed to an institution, they're now under the care of that place. When you commit to Jesus, now you're under the master's care. Boy, I like the sound of that. I like the sound of that. When you commit your life to him, he can transform you. Being a committed worshiper, every time you come to him, all you're saying is, I'm yours, Lord. Everything I have, everything I do, I'm yours, Lord. How many of y'all can say that today? I'm yours, Lord. I'm yours, Lord. Amen. I may not have a whole lot to bring, but I'm bringing myself. I'm yours, Lord. The next form of worship that we have is that of complete worship. And this is a deep one. This goes to the heart of what we're talking about today. You have nothing, even though you bring yourself, really, you don't have yourself because you don't own yourself. Amen. The one who owns you is the one that brought you into this world and the one who can truly take you out. I know Mama told me that. She could do both. Amen. She brought me here and she could take me out. But I started telling you ain't God, but then I wanted my teeth. You know what I'm saying? Yes, Lord. Amen. That was before the days of where you couldn't punish your children. Amen. My mama was even said, let the judge come get me. I'll tell him that. If you want him to stay out of your jail, let me do my job. And I said, she did a real good job. Hallelujah. But complete worship is based on the merits of Christ alone. Christ alone. How dare me as a preacher to stand up and tell God when I stand before him in glory, well, Lord, you know I was a preacher at Crossroads for over 40 years. God's going to say that doesn't count. Because every sermon you preached, if it was a good one, it had to come from the Holy Ghost. Are y'all in the house today? Being complete in Christ, being complete in your worship, means that when you come before him, you come in Jesus' name and not your own name. You come on his authority, and that's how you can enter into the throne room. It's not what you know. You see, people are trying to balance this thing between knowledge and inspiration, or information and inspiration. There are people that say, well, I studied God a long time. I studied my Bible still a long time, but now there's still things that God does, and I don't understand it, but guess what? I trust him. Some people base it on inspiration. They say, well, I saw this vision. I saw an angel, or I saw the Lord, and all of that. You cannot base your relationship with God and your worship on experience. Yes, thank God for experiences. Thank God for knowledge, but I'm going on Jesus. Amen. We are complete in him, is what the Bible says. And if you're complete in him, you're complete in your worship. Why do I say that? I say that because as Christians, sometimes we don't do things that we ought to do. Are y'all in the house? And then we do things that we ought not to do. So, well, let me just hold off of church going for a little bit until I can get myself together. And you know what? If you trust in that, you'll never get yourself together. When David in the Bible recognized that he had sinned against God, when he realized that he had transgressed against God, one of the most beautiful psalms that he wrote was one of confession. And when you worship God, you're complete in Christ, because everything that had to be sacrificed had already been done. He completed all the ceremonial law. He completed all the sacrifices that was necessary to please God. So now all you got to do is stand before God. Matter of fact, the Bible says, come boldly. And I tell you, in our lives, we can get really messed up in our thinking, messed up in our understanding, messed up in our unforgiveness with other people. Yet, God says, if you come to me, you're complete in me. Ladies and gentlemen, that woman left that well that day, knowing the life that she lived. She didn't say, well, let me just try to live a better life. No, no, no. What was her story? Come see a man. Hey, can I tell y'all, like we were saying in the country, great day in the morning, come see this man that know everything about me. I don't know whether y'all say that in Lynchburg, but that's just us folks from down there in Halifax County. Great day in the morning. But you are complete in him. If you had to base anything on your worship, go on Jesus' name. Go based on his authority. And finally, the last form of worship. Did y'all get all seven? Compulsory, consensus, complacent, compromise, committed, complete. But the last one, this is a good one. Brother Joe, this is a good one here. You're going to like this one. The last one is complementary. Yeah, I had to put another C in there to make it seven, so complementary. But now, what made this woman compliment Jesus? What is it that she noticed? Is not he the Messiah? In other words, he's got to be the Lord to know everything about me, but then not to destroy me. Y'all not in here. You're not with me yet. You're not with me yet. Okay, I compliment my wife because I've been married to her for over 46 years. So I compliment her. I tell her, you're a mighty good wife to put up with me. I compliment her. And so I try to compliment her. Why? Because I love her. You compliment what you love. You compliment what you feel is right. Now, I want to ask you a question here. Is God good? Well, then compliment him. Did God show you mercy this morning? Then give him a compliment. Every time you raise your hand, every time you recognize, as a matter of fact, anytime I think about the goodness of the Lord and all he's done for me, I can't answer for anybody else. You can hold your peace, but my cup is going to run over because God has blessed me. And looking at you, he's blessed you also. Now, I don't know why you don't want to praise him. It ain't my business. But if you don't praise him, I'm going to praise him for you. I'm going to clap my hands. I'm going to say that God has shown you mercy. He has shown you kindness because of his awesome love. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the pathway. Never let your worship go lacking. As a matter of fact, don't wait till Sunday. Go on and give him praise every day. In the Psalms, the psalmist wrote, he said, the Lord is good and I will praise him every day. But that wasn't good enough. So he wrote another song, and I believe it's Psalm 34. He said, I'm going to praise him in the morning. I'm going to praise him in the evening. Then I'll praise him when the sun goes down. He said, I'm going to praise him. Then he said, that's still not enough. So he said, I'm going to bless the Lord seven times a day. You know, that's a whole lot of praise right there. But then that got to the place where every time he would praise God, God would show him something else. So he said, you know what? Psalm 34 and verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. When you bless the Lord and praise him, I'm going to tell you something. God will pick your spirit up. You won't have an attitude walking around. As a matter of fact, you'll have an attitude of gratitude because you're thankful for everything. You're thankful that the Lord, he is God. Did y'all learn something about worship today? Amen. Now, don't just write it down. Go on and express it because he has shown us mercy. God's been good to this church. In this church's history, it's been burnt down two times. And every time it gets burnt down, it comes back better. Do I have a witness here? And this church has gone through two pandemics, the one in 1918, and now we're going through another one, and we're still here in Jesus' name. Do I have a witness here? God is an awesome God. But amen, that's the church history. I don't want to talk about the church history. I want to talk about your history and how you know the Lord and how good God has been to you. For those that are online in the parking lot, let me just reflect on this once again. Give him your praise. Give him all your heart. As that woman came to him at the well, she wasn't expecting for a life-changing event, but through worship, she found it. Through worship, you can find it because God is just that awesome. Clap your hands one more time as we pray. Father, thank you again for your amazing love, for your awesome goodness. Thank you for this celebration of what worship is all about. And Lord, I've just scratched the surface. I haven't gotten into all of the depth and the deep things of God, but yet, Lord, it's enough to open the door so that people can see. There might be someone in the sound of my voice, Lord, online that's struggling. And may I suggest to you, pray to him Seek him because the Father is seeking you and he wants you to worship him. Don't give him what your grandma did. Don't give him what your granddaddy did or your mom or daddy. Give him your praise. Give him your heart. Give him your soul. If you do that, God will change your life. In Jesus' name, and all the people of God said, amen, amen. Amen. Well, we're going to get ready to get out of here. We're going to get ready to leave here. I ain't going to hold you all day. I could preach another sermon. Because y'all notice that we haven't gotten into a whole lot of things that you need to go to the extremes on. Your extreme of giving. Your extreme of living for the kingdom of God. We'll get into that. Amen? But until then, I want to bless you in the name of the Lord. I'm going to ask Bishop to come and dismiss us in prayer. Brother Kraft to come and dismiss us in prayer. Leave your offering as you leave out. Is God good to you? Amen. Amen. So what?
About cancer with the shaving.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. I'm sorry. One announcement. For those of you men that we normally will do the men's hair challenge, well, I can't see what you got behind that mask. But you can just leave a donation. Brother Freddie wants to remind us that this is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And it is the time that we can support the efforts of encouraging the men and women who have suffered from this deadly disease. It has taken lives, but thank God there are support groups like the one that Pink witnesses that can share with those that are going through this circumstance. So give what you can and bless others. God bless you.
Piggyback off Pastor Coleman, and this goes by your response. One question, will a true worshiper please stand up?
Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord.
The true worshiper.
True worship.
Please stand up. Shall we pray? Our Father and our God, you are the great God, and you're worthy to be praised. Father, we thank you for our time here. We thank you, Father, for even just being able to come down the dangerous highways to hear your word. We thank you, Father, to be able to look out and see the faces of your many people, Father, who have trusted their way to come, Father. We pray for the ones at home and the ones that's by Facebook and Zoom and parking lot, Father. We pray for everybody that's worshiping here today, Lord. Father, we ask you to bless Pastor Coleman and his family, bless every household that represents here today, Father. Father, we all are going through something. We all have been through something, and we're all going to go through something again. But with your grace and your mercy, Father, you give us strength to endure and strength to hold on. Yes, Father, we pray, Lord, as we get ready to leave this place, that you bless us with your grace and your mercy. As we hit the dangerous highways, Father, you bless us to make it to our home safe and sound. But if you choose, Father, to call any one of us home before we get there, to our earthly home, we thank you, Father, for what you have done for us, and we pray that we'll live the life that we can hear you say, well done. Yes, Father, we ask you to dismiss us from this place, but not from our holy presence. Father, we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, amen. God bless you. One more. Let's just bless the offering. Father, we thank you for the offering that was given this morning. We thank you for the spirit that was given, Father. We ask you to bless those who desire to give, who may not have it. We ask you to bless those who gave, Father, and pray that they gave from the heart. Yes, Father, let your works be done. And to glorify and honor you, we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.